Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm Chris Benson, joined by Debbie Meyer and Jennifer Burchett, and we're here to talk about how technology allows us to serve our clients better. This is the third podcast in the three-part series on technology in a financial planning practice. If you haven't already listened to those other two podcasts, I highly encourage you to check them out to learn more about Jennifer and Debbie and how they are leveraging technology in their firms. Before we dive into some questions on technology and how Jennifer and Debbie are using technology with their clients, I wanted to give you all a little background on each of us so you understand where we're coming from. I am a principal and owner at LK Benson & Company. We're a fee-only RIA and tax practice in Baltimore, Maryland. We have 5 full-time staff and 3 to 5 part-time seasonal employees depending on the time of year. I actually met my two guests today at the AICPA Personal Financial Planning Conference, which is part of the broader Engage Conference held in Las Vegas each June. If you've never been to this conference before, I highly encourage you check it out. It will be held again next June. If you're a younger advisor, I especially encourage you to check out our networking group. It's called the Young Advisors Network. You can find us at youngadvisorsnetwork.com. Each year at the conference, we get together for networking activities. It's a great opportunity to connect with other young CPA financial planners from around the country, learn about what they're doing in their practices, and bounce ideas off each other. So, as I mentioned, I did meet Debbie and Jennifer there, and we talked some there, and I'm really excited to learn more about their practices and how they're using technology in their firms. So I want to give them each a chance here to introduce themselves, give you a little background on their firms, and we'll start with Debbie, if you could go into some background on the structure of your firm for us.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I wanted to give a quick overview. Worthy Nest is a fee-only registered investment advisory firm. I'm based in St. Charles, Missouri, and predominantly help Christian parents build wealth in a way that really aligns with their values. I find that a lot of clients come to me because they don't necessarily have a clear vision for the future. They might be saving in retirement accounts or saving in an emergency fund, but they don't have that long-term vision of what they're saving for. So really helping open lines of communication between the spouses and help them clarify those long-term goals. Or if they already have those goals, really bridging the gap between where they are now and where they're directionally heading. I started the firm in 2016 after about 10 years in the wealth management industry. Prior to starting Worthy Nest, I actually worked at a multifamily office for about 7 years, serving really affluent clients. Anything in investment management, but also broader wealth management issues with a lot of complexity. I was a solo practitioner until July of this year, 2018, when another experienced advisor, Marty Brown, joined my firm. And a big part of our practice is centered around technology. So I have clients on the East or West Coast even meeting with me virtually via video conference. Also, all of the systems we use internally run on the cloud. So I was actually able to spend the earlier part of this year, January through March, in Spain with my family overseas and still continue to serve my clients virtually during that time period. That's about it.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Debbie, for the background. And it's really encouraging to hear that you've been able to leverage technology to the extent that you can do something like that and spend some time abroad. Jennifer, can you give us a little background on your firm?
Sure. Happy to. My name is Jennifer Burchett. I'm an owner of our firm, True Wealth Management. We are also a fee-only registered investment advisory firm located in Atlanta, Georgia. We have 30 full-time employees, and we just crested over the $1.5 billion assets under management mark this past quarter. I've been with the firm 12 years now, and prior to that, I worked for a Big Four accounting firm also here in Atlanta. I'm a CPA. CFP and also have my PFS credential. Our firm, we work with clients to set meaningful goals empower them to define financial success on their own and on their own terms, and then help them achieve what's important to them. So our client experience and client service is what we always want to set apart and just do what's best for the client. We have about 450 client relationships. I personally work on about 80 client relationships myself. So technology is definitely key to all of that, and it's kind of a running joke in the firm that if there's a technology problem, I will probably run into that. So technology is key for me. I'm usually the one who gets, oh, I've never seen that before. So usually when there's a new technology rollout, I am always one of the guinea pigs in the small teams that launches that new technology, because if it will break, I can do it. So I'm usually the person who spearheads that. So, yeah, but it's been really great.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. And we've got different perspectives between both of you. You know, obviously, Jennifer in a much larger firm, but, you know, you're still serving. It almost sounds like you're serving as an IT person within this firm, which I think many of us can probably relate to. I know that I take that role on at my firm as well. So. But in addition to being across the spectrum as far as what kind of firms we're with now and how we're structured, I think that we all started in a similar place. I was with a big accounting firm. You both started at Big Four firms earlier in your careers. Obviously, technology at those firms is a major focus, and it's been a long time since each of us started, I know, and I'm sure things have changed at those firms since we left them. But I'm curious, from both of your standpoint, as to kind of how you've seen technology change in the way you work with clients, and just in the way you work on a day-to-day basis, from when you started at one of those Big Four firms and what you were doing technology-wise there, to maybe what you were doing once you shifted over to a wealth management role, and how you've seen that change over time. And we'll start with Jennifer on this question.
Sure, thanks. It has definitely come a long, long way, not only since I was at the accounting firm and, you know, we were literally running financial plans on an Excel spreadsheet. We had no CRM, so it was just a bunch of notes on paper files to remember things. But even in the last 12 years here at True Wealth, 12 years ago, we did not have rebalancing software. We had a manual process. So on, you know, every Thursday, I think it was, our ops team would print out all of our portfolios that we managed, and we would go through them page by page by page, doing it all manual. And as you can imagine, that's fraught with all kinds of, you know, errors, human errors, and it's not scalable once you get to a certain size. It's just not efficient. So the financial planning software and our CRM was also limited to what it could do, and we were constantly having to work around what it could and couldn't do. So we found ourselves saying, well, the financial planning software doesn't solve for that, so we need to do this and back into it, or kind of work around the numbers. So that was tough too. And since then, we've tried a couple different softwares, and we landed on one a couple years ago, and it's been really great. You know, the first thing I do every single morning is pull up, I call it my main three software systems, the Rebalancer, CRM, and then the portfolio management software system to start my day. And ours, all of them are integrated, so I don't feel like there's anything much at this point that we can't do in those three systems, and it's nice that they talk to each other. So overall, all three of those systems help us provide a better, you know, client experience, and that's the ultimate goal for any firm, whether that's, you know, the end deliverable that we present to the client, or if it's just being more efficient with technology so that we can essentially focus our time and efforts on the planning, because that's where, you know, we love to do, and that's the breadth of everything is that client planning. So if we can gain some efficiencies through our technology and spend some time there, again, that's the ultimate client goal, to increase that experience there.
I think that's a great point. And moving from working in Excel documents and ticking and tying numbers and data entry and collection to actually meeting with clients and having that data automatically populated so you can actually have those conversations with clients is crucial. Debbie, did you have any other thoughts on how things have changed technology-wise since you were back at a Big Four firm early in your career?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I think I was very similar to what Jennifer's experience has been. It's just been a really phenomenal change in technology, I would say, over the last 10 to 15 years. So when I first started, it was 2004. I was at Deloitte in their tax department. And, you know, predominantly my focus was on tax compliance and some consulting. I did have a couple of clients on the financial advisory side, but there was no financial planning program. It was really, you know, predominantly Excel worksheets. And I was only there for about 2 years, and then I moved to that multifamily office where I spent about 7 years of my career. So the multifamily office was really where I saw the robust moves in technology. I would say the first 5 years at that firm, I was still using Excel spreadsheets for virtually every, client assignment. We never really had financial planning software or, we did have a CRM, but it was desktop version of CRM. So we really didn't use any cloud functionality until maybe the last year or so that I was there. And I left in 2013. So that firm really had a strong emphasis on customization. So they didn't necessarily want to have the scale of some of these other technological products. And that was a big reason for my shift to go specifically to web-based, cloud-based technology in my firm, Worthy Nest. I had seen what that looked like on the wealth management multifamily office side, and I said, I just want to go in a very different direction so I can scale, so I can grow, get a lot of new clients onboarded quickly and using the technology as a true strength in my practice rather than just trying to say, oh, it's, just another investment I'm making in the firm. So I really put a lot of intentionality around that when I started Worthy Nest in 2016. And, really I can operate from any device that has an internet connection. So I often switch between my home office and the co-working space I use. I don't have like a physical office I'm having to go to every single day. So a lot of my information is just on the laptop and in the cloud-based programs. It's not, something where I have these large workstations and I'm having to back up to a giant server or anything. So I also really try to put an emphasis now on paperless office. So again, just in those client meetings, working interactively with the software so the clients can see what the impacts these changes make on their financial plan, rather than just trying to give them, hey, this is your printout of 20 pages, and okay, if we make this one change, this is what it's going to look like instead. They can just see that in real time on the screen in front of them.
Yeah, that's great, and that's a great point on how you can really make the client experience better. And it sounds like you have been really intentional on that from the beginning. And starting your own firm is obviously has a lot of challenges, but one challenge you don't face is changing the way people have been doing things for a long time, and you're able to kind of start from scratch. So I'm curious how you took on that task of, starting a new firm, and you know what you want to see, but how do you develop that technology stack so that it really develops that client experience that you want your clients to feel?
Yeah, so obviously when you're starting a firm from scratch, it can seem really daunting. Definitely witnessed that myself. But I also really knew I wanted to offer those financial planning services, and I also wanted to do it within a different legal entity from SVCPA Services, which was already an established accounting firm at that time. More specifically, I really wanted to serve clients in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who are accumulating wealth rather than just drawing down on it. Just looking at any of the technologies instantly helped me hone in on the target market that I wanted to serve. And in each decision, I was really placing an emphasis on simplicity. Again, because of the client demographic that I was predominantly serving, I wanted to make sure they were going to be able to quickly onboard, be able to use the technology without a lot of training and tutorials. So, you know, I have a lot of clients that the minute we onboard a new client, they're sent an invitation to their financial planning portal, and then they can upload important documents from there. They can start linking their bank accounts, investment accounts, things like that. I never see their credentials, so it's a very seamless process for them where they don't have to physically bring in large account statements and, you know, show me their whole financial life on paper.
That's great. And I think you made some good points there. So we go from Debbie, who's started her own firm and the challenges that come with that, to Jennifer, who you've been with the same firm for over a decade now. So as we talked about with the last question, you've gone through a lot of different transitions on software, and I imagine some of them came with some struggles. Having people change what they've been doing for a long time is always a challenge. I'm curious how you've seen that technology improve the way you work with clients, and maybe some of the challenges you've seen in those transitions.
Definitely. Again, the first thing that comes to mind is just the efficiencies that we've gained. They're huge. And again, if I can spend more time on my client-specific planning goals and rely on things like automatic downloads and integration, again, that's ultimately giving the client a better experience overall. And I remember, you know, 8-10 years ago, when we got together as a group and would talk about challenges and hurdles, I remember we would say our biggest hurdle is we're just afraid we're going to drop the ball, like we're going to forget something. It was always, gosh, I can't remember everything as a human being, and we're just going to feel like we're dropping the ball on something. So then we started looking in, okay, we've got to have these tasks that are just automatically created and this workflow that goes from this person to this person automatically, so we can have a second set of eyes double checking. And once we got those things in place, and you're right, it was many, many meetings of this is how I think we want to create it, to we got to scrap this and go back to the drawing board, this is what we really want to create. Then our advisors were comfortable with, okay, I don't think I'm going to drop a ball because we've got these automatic tasks getting generated, and it was just helpful that way. And we've got this second and maybe even third person looking at it to make sure everything's going. And I would also say the technology today with what we use is way more visual. We used to, you know, the old technology we used, we had great data and output, but we would spend so much time making it, quote, client friendly, to where it was visually pretty and it was easy and simple. Like Debbie said, an output of, you know, 75 pages of printout, you know, the client's searching through it like, what is this and what's the ultimate answer that you're telling me? So we just would spend a lot of time making it pretty and simplifying it to show the client the end result. And now the technology really provides a really nice output. And like to Debbie's point, we also can automatically make a change of an assumption and let the planning software just show us how that small assumption creates or changes the end result. So to that point, flexibility. Before, if a client wanted to, you know, alter a plan or maybe just even alter an assumption in their financial plan, I would meet with them and tell them, well, I'll go back and I'll run that illustration and I'll email it to you, or we'll hop on the phone and we'll discuss that new illustration. And now in meetings, I can be logged into my client's financial software and can change a number on the fly and see how it affects their planning. You know, for example, if someone says, well, you know, maybe we want to take a bigger family vacation every year. Can we do that? Let's change that number and see how it affects your planning. And we can go in there, and the client can even play with it themselves if they want and hit enter and see how that affects. So then they can really get their arms around, okay, we can do this. And then the last thing that comes to mind with changing technology is the ease of for employees. When I first started, there was no, you know, working from home situation because we had to be at work at a desktop logged into all of our software. But now, like Debbie mentioned, we have all of our software is cloud-based. So give me a computer and I can log into our virtual private network and get all of our software in a secure way, and I can do that from home, from, you know, a conference out in Las Vegas to, you know, somewhere, anywhere else where I can just get, you know, into that VPN securely. So it's made the life for our employees and us a lot easier too, because life happens and, you know, things come up, and it's easier if they say, oh, I'm just going to, you know, log in from home, and you don't skip a beat that way. So I think that's helpful too for, from an employee perspective.
Yeah, and I think that having happy employees tends to make the clients happier as well. If their employees are happy, they're working with them. And I also think that, as you've talked about, I think the visual nature of some of the technology we have now, not only does it allow us to be more proactive and really work with clients, but having clients in there and working on the plan with you, as opposed to doing it in a back office somewhere and then them not knowing what you're doing, it really gets them more engaged, and it feels more like their plan as opposed to our plan that we're presenting on them. So great.
That's
great,
right.
There.
Yeah. We even had a client who said, I really appreciate you, quote, pulling back the curtain with the planning and showing me how it works. And they like that it's very transparent, and they can change a number. And if they alter a few things, they can literally see how it works. So he jokes about appreciating, you know, us pulling back the curtain.
Exactly. These are important things for clients, and in order to make clients happy, that's this is really good information, and it's good for all the advisors listening to take some tips back from here. As we close out, you know, I thought maybe we'd go through. We've talked about how you might be able to implement some changes in their firms, and obviously our listeners are going to range from real small solo practices to bigger firms like Jennifer's, and maybe even bigger than that. I thought I'd ask you each to provide one tip. Debbie, you know, as a small practitioner, someone who's maybe overwhelmed by all the technology options available to them, and they just don't know where to start. Do you have a tip you can provide those practitioners?
Yeah, I actually have two small tips, so hopefully that's okay. I think the first one is just recognizing you're going to have to adapt your technology over time. You know, technology is evolving at such a rapid pace, so what you pick this year might not really be the same system you want 3, 5, you know, 8 years down the road. So just knowing that up front and being open to that possibility, I think, is important. The other point I want to make is to really focus on the type of firm you want to create before you adopt that new technology. So if you are a solo advisor now, but you have expectations to grow that to a mid or large size firm, you know, the technology that you adopt might be something very different from a solo advisor who plans on remaining solo that entire time. You know, when I started my practice, I just thought, I'm solo advisor. I only need to, you know, focus on simplicity and just what works best for me. But now that I have another person on board, I'm reevaluating those technology decisions and trying to find out if the choices I made a few years ago are still relevant to the client base that we're serving today and the firm that we're trying to build in the future. So those are just, you know, two things right off the top that I would say you just need to look at in every technology decision, whether it's the client relationship management system or the portfolio reporting, financial planning. All of those have very different nuances.
Yeah, great recommendations. Jennifer, being at a bigger firm, you know, obviously it might be harder for someone to implement a change if they're one of 10, 20, 30 employees. And it's also harder because you've got to change the way things have been done for a long time. Do you have any tips for that type of situation?
Yeah, and a couple things actually come to mind. But I think the best resource as far as resources are, I think, is to ask firms similar in size what they use. Ask them what they use in technology and then ask how they rolled it out and then challenges and limitations that they had on that. I think that's been huge for us. And then a very close second is going to the continuing education conferences, where a lot of the software companies will be there and you can look and see and feel and play around with the technology and see how it works. I think that's been key. I remember one year out at the AICPA conference, it was mine and a colleague's of mine's focus. Like, we have to go to these two places. Like, you go here, I go here. And we've really got to make a call and see if this could be something that we could do. And then as far as rolling it out, I think we've learned the hard way on this, but to me, when we make a change, start with a test group, and that's been key for us. Don't, at least for us, it's been good if we don't roll it out to the whole firm at first, because we actually have had to, you know, do a do-over and kind of go back to the drawing board and say this might not work, or we need to go back to our technology group or the software system and say this will work, but we need it to do this or that. So definitely have, for us, a test group has been good. And then those people usually, and it's usually me too, usually ends up working out the kinks and the newness of it and getting our questions answered so that we can say, you know, we can already give them a Q&A of the top 10 or whatnot questions. And I think it's important to have buy-in from the whole firm of those, of that test group, that this is great and this is going to be good, instead of, you know, one person going, usually the IT person rolling it out, and everyone, you know, you can get a little bit of tension when you change, make a big change, like, no, this is a CRM I have worked in for 10 years, I am not changing. But if you have a test group saying, no, I promise, I've been in this for 2-3 months, and this is really good, you know, this is a quirk, and this is going to be something you might have a challenge on, but this is how you get around it, and this is better. So I just think having buy-in from a select group is key too. And, you know, we kind of say, you know, it's going to work until, you know, maybe we decide to do something different. It doesn't have to be a forever thing, although people get kind of locked into their habits with technology. But, you know, the only thing that's going to be consistent is that we're going to keep having changes and going to keep having technology, you know, changes each year. So those are my tips. Ask around and then get a test group.
That's great. That's great. Thank you both for being on here today and for providing so much information. I think we could probably stay on for another couple hours and talk through all the different nuances of the technology we use and how we can improve and how others could possibly improve. But I'm going to hop off now. I think that we've gone through enough for today. So on behalf of the PFP section, this has been Chris Benson with Debbie Meyer and Jennifer Burchett. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access the Technology Toolkit for Financial Planning. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.